track 12, our feature item from TNF Soundings, and is entitled The Life and Work of Annie Glenn. Annie Glenn was the reluctant celebrity wife of astronaut John Glenn during the space programme. She later overcame communication challenges to speak out on behalf of the disabled. It is read for us by Soundings contributor Liz.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello folks, it's Liz from East Kilbride here. Today I'm going to look at the amazing life of Annie Glenn, one half of that American power couple from the 1960s and beyond, because her husband was John Glenn, the Mercury astronaut. But their story of life together begins much earlier. In fact, it seems they were together in a playpen as toddlers. They played together, they were at school together. Annie Glenn had a very, very severe stammer, which inhibited her in many aspects of her school life, did not prevent her learning and showing a huge talent in music. And in fact, as a teenager, she was offered an organ scholarship to the prestigious music school, the Juilliard. But she turned it down because by 1943, she was 20 years old and she wanted to marry John, who had been her schoolboy friend and then her high school boyfriend. John and Annie Glenn became a military family. He flew missions through World War II, 59 in fact, and 90 missions during the Korean War. For all these years, Annie Glenn was in the background, but a vital part of his life. No luxury life then. She stayed in porta cabins in the Mojave Desert while John took on ever more exciting and also dangerous missions as a test pilot. He was a fantastic flyer and Annie supported him in this career. When the letters came out from NASA, the Space Administration, asking for astronauts, Annie supported him. And John Glenn became one of the original Mercury 7. And they faced the TV cameras and the news reporters. What none of the people were expecting was the immense media interest in the wives of the astronauts, among whom was Annie Glenn. She was put into this fishbowl of life as a celebrity astro wife. Her clothing, her hair, her makeup were all discussed in magazines and on American talk shows. The women were not ready for this. They were given no kind of media training. So they did a bit of self-help. And they gathered themselves into what they called the Astronauts' Wives Club, trying to give each other a bit of solidarity in face of the media interest and even more moral support as the dates of the launches came closer and closer. NASA wanted to show, it's going to be all right, ladies, took them along to observe a mission test, and the rocket exploded on the launch pad. So you can imagine the stress these women were after. They were given a deal through Life magazine, a glossy magazine, a bit like Hello nowadays. They were given nicer clothes and makeup and a hairdo, and then posed in front of a Mercury spaceship. It was all a bit difficult. It was all a bit stressful. And as the women gradually realised, Annie Glenn could not talk to them about her because her stammer was so severe. In 1963, John Glenn's flight was ready to be celebrated. because the actual flight had taken place in February 62. How to celebrate? Well, you could do a news conference, but Annie Glen didn't want that, of course. She couldn't speak to the press. She would take any kind of public celebration that didn't involve talking. Ticker tape parades behind lots of cars. That suited Annie Glen. She met JFK in the year before he was assassinated, and that life of being a superstar of America, being the wife of an astronaut, had its joys, but also the huge pressures. Now, whether it was the death of Kennedy in November 63, or whether it was realising that younger astronauts were coming along, John Glenn actually retired and resigned from NASA 6 weeks after his great leader, President Kennedy, had been shot. But he was earmarked by Robert Kennedy as a man who should go into politics. They had a close friendship, the Glens, with Robert and Ethel Kennedy. And in fact, in the dreadful year of 1968, when Robert Kennedy was also shot dead, it was Annie Glen and John Glen who told their children that their father had been assassinated. The moon missions went on. In 1969, there was the landing of Armstrong and Aldrin on the moon. John Glenn, meanwhile, had entered American politics and was now an active senator. Annie Glenn had somehow coped with her challenges. She would go into shops and would point at things. By this time, she could take along her daughter to help her. She never used the phone because of her stammer. She actually called the phone the devil. And in one situation, when her daughter had an accident, Annie could not dial and speak to the 999 operator because of the severity of her stammer. She felt she was holding back John's career, but he told her repeatedly he would be nothing without her and he loved her the way that she was. Things changed for Annie Glenn. And in 1973, when she was 53 years old, she attended a residential 3-week course for people with speech challenges. At the end of that 3 weeks, she phoned John Glenn. And that man, that astronaut who had been through so much, cried when he heard his wife speak on the phone. She decided to use this newfound confidence and ability to communicate for the folks that she felt had been left behind in the great surge of the 60s and the 70s in America, the disabled. And she spoke up for the disabled people for the rest of her life. In fact, an award was named after Annie Glenn because of her advocacy in front of people who were facing communication disorders. And in fact, the first recipient of that award, the Annie Glenn Award, was a voice that many of you will recognise, the very serious, strong tones of James Earl Jones, otherwise known, of course, as Darth Vader. In these later years, Annie Glenn's work for the disabled folk was bringing her into the spotlight, and this was something she could now happily deal with. John Glenn, meanwhile, had been keeping his eye on the space programme and had noticed among many booklets he was sent that the impact physically of spaceflight, loss of bone and muscle, blood plasma impact, was very similar to ageing. As he said very wisely, there was still no cure for the common birthday. And John Glenn said to NASA, "Why not send an old person into space and I can be a living experiment of these changes in the human body. And with Annie Glenn's full support, at the age of 77, John Glenn flies on a shuttle mission. This once again brought them fully into the public eye. Another ticker tape parade, both in their 70s. Another selection of waving to many crowds. And their place in American history was now assured. But it wasn't just John Glenn's place in history. It was now the woman by his side, Annie Glenn, who continued her work on behalf of disabled people for the rest of her life. John Glenn passed away in 2016 and Annie in 2020. There is a lovely, more comic anecdote about their later years, that when she returned from her residential course, full of the joy of being able to talk to her husband properly for the first time in her life, she turned to him and he said, "John, I've been wanting to tell you this for years. Will you please pick up your socks?" Perhaps very mundane, but heartfelt nonetheless. So to finish my talk on the amazing work in her own right of Annie Glenn, here is what John Glenn said about his wife. "It takes guts to operate with a disability. I don't know if I would have had the courage to do all the things that Annie did so well. Millions of people face challenges. Their courage remains largely unsung. Millions of individuals are heroes in their own right. In my book, Annie is one of those heroes." And that's why I've chosen to talk to you today about the amazing and brave life of Annie Glenn.
TNF Soundings.